Joseph, we studied about the millennium and also about the judgment, the White Throne judgment, and the two books, and it was very interesting. But in the same time, there were so many different categories of people. Like some were judged and thrown into the lake of fire, some escaped the lake of fire by works, some are in heaven, some are the bride, and it's a lot of many different categories. Can you tell us more? The people who escaped the White Throne judgment, where do they continue their lives? What happens to them?
Yeah, that's very interesting. After the millennium, after the White Throne judgment, it's not that the kingdom of God, it's not that God stops. That's where the nitty-gritty, that's where the most beautiful begins, actually. Well, for us, it begins at the rapture. But then it keeps going on and on. And then it's like that's like a trampoline to jump into eternity. Why don't you read the Revelation 21, verse 1 and 2?
Okay. Revelation 21, verses 1 and 2. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
All right, prepared as a bride. All right, we're talking about the bride, yeah? Verse 7 and 8.
7 and
8.
And 9. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.
Okay, 11.
But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part into the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Wow. This is beautiful.
Yeah, it's a big city. Verse 16, too.
16. And the city lies four squares, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are all equal.
Well, isn't that exciting?
It's something. It's amazing.
Are you ready for that?
Getting ready.
So this is what's going to happen. It's going to be a new heaven, and it's going to be a new creation.
What is new heaven? What does it mean, new heaven?
There's going to be a new heaven, a new earth, and new Jerusalem. Understand?
No. There are three different things. What do they mean?
Yes. Well, this is what we read here. There are three different destinations. There's going to be a new heaven created, like Paul told the Corinthians, and I think it's 2 Corinthians 12, that it's talking about being taken to the third heaven, understand? So, like when the devil is cast down from heaven, in Revelation chapter 12, right, because the devil is in a part of heaven right now. There is a part of heaven where the devil is. And that is called you can call it like the second heaven. The first heaven is what you see now, the clouds and the firmament. The second heaven is an invisible realm where the devil is, which is all around the planet. And then there is a third heaven, which is everything else in the universe, the immense, too big to be measured, where God is. That's where Paul was raptured to the third heaven. So when the devil is cast down from his heaven, Revelation 12 talks about that, is like the heaven where he's cast down from is going to be completely contaminated with all kinds of bad spirits. So God is going to destroy it. Like 2 Peter chapter 3 talks about the heavens will burn up. That's the stratospheric, physical heaven. But also the spiritual heavens where the devil is now is going to be destroyed. That's where it's going to be a new heaven. Okay, also Peter also said that the earth is going, the elements are going to melt and burn. So this planet, the surface of the planet is going to burn up. It's all oxygen and helium. They both burn. You know, oxygen and helium, they burn. That's what the most of the air, the stratosphere is helium and oxygen. They burn. They're going to burn the planet. So there's going to God is going to burn it, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, and it's going to be a new earth. Recreated all the pollution, all the atomic contamination, the radioactive contamination, the seas are polluted, the rivers, the water, the air, and the earth, under the earth, everything that the man has reached got contaminated because the heart of man is contaminated. So God is going to burn everything, destroy everything, and renew everything in a new heaven where the devil is now, new earth where man is now. And there's going to be a new thing, a new Jerusalem coming down from heaven as a bride. And that is going to be the place where the bride of Christ, the virgin with oil, are going to dwell.
Amen. About the new Jerusalem, it's very clear. It says it's the Lamb's wife is the bride.
Yes, yes.
The new earth, what is it going to be?
Yeah, exactly where we are now. It's going to be the Garden of Eden will come back again. All right, the devil is
the Garden of Eden will be the same like in the beginning.
Yes, kind of the beginning, not as perfect as we will see, but God is going to recreate again a new earth. The devil is going to be cast in the lake of fire, false prophets, the Antichrist, and all the people not written in the book of life. And instead of the world getting worse and worse like it is now, it will get better and better like it will be then.
So it's not going to be like during the millennium. Actual kingdom of God, paradise.
The millennium is not going to be so good and so perfect because the world is going to be a mess during the millennium because of all the tribulation, the wrath of God, the atomic wars, the destruction. There's going to be a whole area that people cannot go because they're going to be contaminated by atomic explosion, radioactivity, which lasts for thousands of years. No, the millennium is not going to be. The only thing, the devil is going to be imprisoned and everything is going to be under control. Psalm chapter 2 talks about the rule of iron by Christ. Revelation chapter 20 talks about the rule of the saints for 1,000 years. But the millennium is just an anticipation, just not even anticipation, more like the devil is in prison and God will give a chance to the people to be saved without the devil being around, but they will still reject it, proving that it's not all the devil's fault. It's the people that decide not to follow Jesus.
What about the new heaven? It's a new universe, or are there any people living in the new heaven? What is that?
I think the new heaven, the Bible doesn't specify, so you can just take it or leave it, but I think the new heaven, if it needs to be recreated, if God sees necessary to recreate a new heaven, of course it's not where God lives, which was never contaminated. I see much more like probably where the devil is now, like I said before.
Okay.
And there's going to be a heaven.
Anybody lives there, or how is it?
I think it's going to be the non-bride of Christ. I think it's going to be a lot of the Christians who are foolish virgin without oil who will be locked out for the marriage chamber, which is really New Jerusalem, really.
That's
it's like the door in Matthew 25, verse 1, about the wise virgin, they go into the marriage chamber. It's not a room 4x4. It's not a room of 5 square meters. It's big. I mean, that's where Jesus Christ is going to be. I think it refers to New Jerusalem coming down as a bride, where the foolish virgin are going to be locked away. So where do they go? To the lake of fire? No, because they are virgin. They are waiting for the bridegroom. They would like to get married, but they get rejected because the disobedience, they have no oil. So not going to the lake of fire, not going to the marriage chamber, that leaves only the new heavens or the new earth even. Depends how bad that they miss the mark. It depends how far away they were from God. You know, so some of these virgin without oil, they might end up in the new earth.
This is very nice. This message is very nice because it shows how everybody has a place. And it really...
Jesus said in John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions.
Amen, yes. And what about the new earth? People on the new earth who are going to live in eternity because death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. These people aren't, they're Christians or not?
No, they're not Christian. These are the people who, by the skin of the teeth, escaped the white throne judgment, Revelation 20, verse 15.
Revelation 20:15. Yes.
Read it.
One second. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Okay, so the ones who didn't get cast in the lake of fire, but they were written in the book of life, attention, not the book of the Lamb. All right, so these guys are going to be escaping the lake of fire because they are in the book of life, but not in the book of the Lamb. And so they're going to go on the new earth.
But if they're not Christians and they're living in the kingdom of God, because this is it, no? Then how can they live eternally?
Well, see, they're not totally unbelievers. See, God, the Bible makes it clear there are two differentiations. You can see the differentiation between these guys in Revelation 21:8. You can read it.
Okay.
Yeah, we read it before. Read it again.
But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers.
Emphasize unbelieving.
Okay. But the fearful and unbelieving.
Yes.
The abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part into the lake which burns with fire and brimstone.
So do you understand? So these guys, they may remember that one of their sins was unbelief. They didn't believe at all.
The guys who didn't pass the white throne and they are in the lake of fire.
Yes. These go to the lake of fire. Okay. And now read a parallel scripture to this in the next chapter, still verse 8.
Revelations 22.
Yes.
Verse 8.
22:8
again. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard these things and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things.
Okay. Now go to 15.
15. For without are dogs and...
Sorry, 14. 15.
Okay, 14. Revelations 22, 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city.
Okay, so this is New Jerusalem, okay?
Okay.
Here we are dealing with New Heaven, New Earth, and New Jerusalem. The city is New Jerusalem. So he's saying here, blessed are they who enter the city. That means that not all are going to be blessed. Some are not going to be entering, which is the next scripture, 15.
15. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loves and makes a lie.
So as you see, it seems like the same descriptions of those people in the lake of fire of Revelation 21:8, which you just read. It's the same category, the same bad people, the same whoremongers, idolaters, etc. Only in 21:15 are in the lake of fire. In 21:8
yes,
are in the lake of fire.
Yes.
And the next chapter, chapter 22, verse 15, are outside the city.
Yes.
Now, okay. So this is a time, Revelation 22, after the white throne judgment, after the people got thrown to the lake of fire. So these are the survivors, the people who go through, they passed the exam of the white throne judgment, and they did not get thrown to the lake of fire. Where do they go? They go to the new earth.
I see.
Understand? So they go to the new earth, but these are people who had been in Hades all this time because they were wicked, people who never received the salvation of Christ. And by the skin of the teeth, they got saved by the works. Which kind of works? Well, the number one work is that they were not totally unbelievers. You understand? Because they're totally unbelievers, Revelation 21:8, they go to the lake of fire.
Yes.
But if you see one sin which is lacking, one sin which they don't have in the chapter in 22, verse 15, or the people outside the city, they don't have the sin of unbelief. So they have all kinds of sins, murders, whatever, but they believed to some extent. Not enough to receive Christ, but they did have some little of belief, some kind of mental, spiritual belief, not enough to receive the salvation and the grace to be written in the book of the Lamb. But they did believe, they do believe. And because they have a little bit of belief, they are eligible. There is hope that they can grow, and because they believe, they're going to listen to Jesus, they're going to listen to the angels, to us, they're going to listen to those in the book of the Lamb, they're going to be listening to those living inside the city, inside New Jerusalem, who will come out from New Jerusalem to evangelize the earth, to heal the earth, to bring healing to these people who are sick spiritually from New Jerusalem, because in New Jerusalem there is a tree which leaves are for the healing of the nations. But you can read that in verse 2. Revelation 22, verse 2.
Revelation 22, verse 2. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations.
Okay, you understand? So, it's like...
These are the nations that we talked about on New Earth?
Yes, yes. You see, in the New Earth, they're going to be nations. No, you see, the nation of Christ is one. Yeah. There is a king, Jesus Christ. There is one nation, the kingdom of God. And there is one body, the body of Christ. But here in the New Earth, we see many nations. Why?
This is what I don't understand. How can... I mean, they say they are idolaters and whoremongers and sorcerers, and they're going to live in God's eternal kingdom, and they will never die, these people who are idolaters. I mean, that means that they can anytime rebel against God and they still live forever.
No, it's not like that. See, the devil is not going to be around. The three horsemen's revelation, horseman number 2, 3, and 4, you know, the war horse, the business horse, and the death horse, they're not going around anymore provoking wars like you see in Revelation chapter 6, because they're going to be thrown to the lake of fire. The devil will not go around like a roaring lion, 1 Peter 5:8, seeking whom he may devour. He's thrown to the lake of fire. Now is the opposite. Now there is the white horseman, there is Jesus Christ, there is the tree of life, which is Jesus, whose leaves are for the healing of the nation continually, so the nation can only be improving and improving all the time. They will not get worse and worse, but better and better, because the leaves are for the healing. There is not anymore a devil going around to make things worse and worse, making the world progress toward bigger weapons, or atomic weapons, to greater evil. The world is progressing, yes, toward hell. So now, after the millennium in the new earth, the world can only progress toward good, toward God, toward Jesus. In fact, I believe there's going to be people getting converted to Jesus in the new earth. I can show you.
Okay.
Look, if you read Revelation 21, verse 23 and 24.
Revelation 21. And the city has no need of the sun.
The city is New Jerusalem, okay?
Okay, yes.
Revelation 21 is talking about New Jerusalem. So try to understand what city talking about here. You're talking about New Jerusalem. The city, it says, has no need of the sun. So you can read the city, you can say New Jerusalem. Go ahead.
Yes. And the city has no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof.
Okay, so 24.
And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it.
So who's these kings? What are these kings?
Kings of the earth. Kings of the earth.
Kings of the earth. Who are these?
Revelation 5:10. It says... And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. It's us.
Do you understand? It's like, so it's like we shall be living in the we, any among us. I don't know who is it said, God knows.
Yes.
But we, those among us written in the book of the Lamb, by God's grace, I believe that's where I am. I believe that's where you are. And anyone who's full heart for Jesus or try to is, we'll be living in New Jerusalem. But we're not going to be in Jerusalem just playing the harp on the clouds all the time. It's like Jesus said in Luke 22 to the disciple who followed him, he said, you followed me and you share in my tribulation. And I appoint unto you a kingdom as the Father has appointed unto me that you shall judge the tribe of Israel. Israel yesterday, Christianity today is the same people, okay? So, in other words, a faithful Christian will judge the unfaithful. Okay, in other words, the faithful shall receive a kingdom. A kingdom needs a king. Revelation 5:10 says, God, you made us kings. In this time, it's like God is not going to be the mayor of the city. God is not going to be the king of a certain region. God will appoint kings, like King David in Jerusalem and so on. how much people will get depending on his faithfulness. 5 cities, 10 cities, 5 countries, 10 countries, etc. God knows. All right? And then when the planet is full, you go to the galaxy, other galaxy, fill other galaxies, fill other... The whole... Why do you think God created billions and billions of galaxies? Because it wastes space? No. I believe that is God is going to fill it, like this Earth is going to fill all our planetary system, and then it's going to go to another planetary system, and then when the Milky Way is full, it's going to fill other galaxies. Until I tell you, when Jesus said he that is faithful with a few talents, 5 talents, I give you 5 cities, faithful with 10 talents, I give you 10 cities, because people didn't understand about planets and galaxies. To this day, I myself don't understand too much, but I'm sure he's talking about not just cities. He's talking about that one day it's going to be planets. You're faithful in 5 talents, take 5 planets, take 5 galaxies. You understand? That's what I believe. Where is that in the Bible? Well, that's not in the Bible. So that's what I think. I just think that all these planets, all these galaxies are there for a reason. Okay, and if they're there just to fill up space and good for nothing, that's fine with me too. But since God is in the business, he didn't say to Adam and Eve, he didn't say to Adam and Eve, grow. No, he said multiply. You see, when you go into multiplication, it's not growing 1, 2, 3, 10, 11. No, it's 10, 20, 40, 80, 160, 320. In multiplication, if you multiply 1, 2, 2, 4, 4, 8, 8, 16, I think in some little 20, 30, 40 numbers, you go into the billions. If you multiply after 30 or 40 times, you are into the billions already. Do you understand?
Is that why it says that on the Revelations 21, verse 1, it says there was no more sea? Is it because there are so many multitudes that they need more land?
Right, because I don't think it's because of that. No. It's just because we don't need the sea. See, the sea was created in Genesis chapter 10. There was a guy being born. His name was Peleg. In Hebrew, his name means divisions. And because in those days, it says Moses wrote in Genesis chapter 1, the earth was divided into continents. Why? If you want to know when the continents were formed, that was in the days of Peleg. It was not in the days of the flood. It was in the days of Peleg. Why? Continents, it's a word that means to contain. God divided the world in continents to contain evil, wickedness, violence. If you see, the continents are separated. Turkey is separated from Greece by water. Gibraltar, Spain, is separated from Northern Africa by a small body of water. South America from North America connected by very little thin Panama, Nicaragua, little difficult to get through, understand? So to divide, God divided the continents so that to contain the wickedness. So that will not be necessary anymore. God is going to, when the fire falls from heaven, Revelation 20, and burns the devil and his people, which is the same fire, I believe, on 2 Peter chapter 3, fire from heaven, the earth will melt. I believe just like in the beginning, when the first flood, there was a canopy, a balloon of water around the earth to protect the planet that people were living 1,000 years, and the canopy that was to protect from the sun, and the people from 1,000 years began to live 100 years and less. I believe that God is going to recreate this canopy. When the fire is going to come down, the ocean will evaporate, and the canopy will be created again, which will be like it will create like a heavenly temperature, always the same, like in the Garden of Eden. Just a second. I believe, but of course there is no scripture for that. So
I
mean, it's not important anyway.
Yes. I think I understood about the new earth. I think it's clear. Just one thing.
The nations. I want to say something.
Just one thing I want to know. In the new earth, people don't die anymore. They live eternally. But they do have sicknesses. So there are going to be sicknesses which don't bring to death. Only what kind of sickness? What is this?
No, it doesn't talk about physical sickness.
No, it says that the leaves are going to heal the nations in chapter 22, verse 2.
No, he's talking about spiritual sicknesses. Whether there be physical sickness, I don't know. The Bible doesn't talk about. What we see in Revelation 22, that the leaves are going to bring healing, is going to bring healing to sickness such as you see in verse 15, the dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and liars. These are all spiritual sicknesses in this time. Because for physical sickness, all you need is a pharmacy.
I understand. So these leaves are actually spiritual to heal the heart of people.
They are spiritual. But I believe there is still going to be salvations on the new earth like there is now. I believe the Book of the Lamb is not going to be closed like some religions teach that when the tribulation starts, the day of grace is finished and now there's only tribulation. It's not like that. It doesn't say that in the Bible. I believe that the Book of the Lamb is going to be an open book, will continue forever and ever. But that's just my belief. You don't have to. Why do I believe that? I believe that because it says in verse 24, Revelation 21, 24, it says, the nation of them, of them which are saved outside the earth, okay, in the earth, shall walk in the light of it. Okay, so the nations of the earth shall walk in the light of New Jerusalem. Okay, you got to shine like a moon. Mm-hmm. Now, it's talking both physical light, but it's also talking spiritual light, because that's where the leaves come from, okay? And then the kings of the earth, who is that? It could be those among us, virgin with oil, faithful, whom God will reward and appoint them to rule on the earth, with Christ the head and the faithful Christians at the body. So the kings are the Christians, are the rulers, the worthy ones who are living in Jerusalem, who will rule over the earth, like this Revelation 5:10. So, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor into it. What does that mean? The kings of the earth, which are the faithful Christians, will bring their glory into New Jerusalem, into the gates. What is that? What glory can they bring to New Jerusalem? I mean, if that's where God lives, can they bring a barbecue? Can they bring a couple of goats, some chickens? And what can they bring? Some broccolis and cauliflowers? I mean, God says in the Psalm, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. Do I eat the flesh of goats and drink the blood of goats? Of course, no. So what's the glory of this from the earth where there are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and liars? What glory can they bring from there?
Something spiritual.
Souls. I believe it means souls. I believe it means the people that have been redeemed, regenerated, and by the leaves of the tree of life, which is a spiritual healing, is not just some kind of some pharmacy band-aid, some betadine or iodine. This is talking about spiritual healing. So the people who will receive this healing, eventually they will actually accept the Lamb, Jesus Christ, somehow. And that's the glory, I believe, okay? That's the kings of the earth. Because it says, look, in 27, read 27, it goes along with this.
Revelation 21?
21, 27, yes.
Okay. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is the Lamb's Book of Life we talked about.
Yes, so do you understand? In the New Jerusalem, the only ones that can go in is the bride. Those written in the Book of the Lamb. Not the Book of Life, the Book of Life of the Lamb. So it's like the only glory that the kings can bring in, I believe, is going to be soul saved. Because in the new earth, there are going to be people who are saved by the Book of Life, which has nothing to do with the Book of the Lamb. But by the leaves of New Jerusalem, coming from inside New Jerusalem, which is Jesus, really, bringing that healing, healing them from what? From lying, from adulteries, from whoremongering, from idolatry. So if people get healed from those kind of spiritual sins, they get saved. Because those sins are keeping them from entering the Book of the Lamb. So once these people are being healed from the spiritual witchcraft and horrible demonic sins, I mean, what is going to stop them from being saved and enter the Book of the Lamb? I don't think God is going to fill the all the planets and the galaxy, but even the but even only this planet with people who are idolaters and liars and mongers. I think God wants to restore them. I think He wants to regenerate them. I think He wants to give them the salvation of Jesus, because God is not in the business trying to cast His creation to the lake of fire, but in the business of Calvary, or sacrifice, of the crucifixion. It's to save people, not to send people to hell. If God was wanted to get rid of His creation, He could have sent a flood of water. He sent the Antichrist, He sent Armageddon, He sent the flood of fire from heaven. He could have just got rid of them and goodbye. I tell you, in the days when God saved Noah and his children, God was trying to save us. And through Noah, a bunch of other weirdos came through, and Ham and others. And by God, had to put up with the tear in order to reach the wheat. Look through Noah, a guy that was not perfect, was not anything. It was not even saved yet. Jesus didn't come yet. Look how much wicked came through. Hitler, Stalin, Pol Pot, a bunch of. But God put up with that because also a lot of good seed was going to come through. So in the new earth, I believe it's going to be the same. The glory of the kings that they will bring into New Jerusalem, I believe it's going to be soul saved, redeemed, restored, healed spiritually by the leaves of the tree of life.
And eventually everybody on the new earth will be changed and converted?
I don't know that. I'm sure God is shooting for that. Because you see, the kingdom, you see, the universe, scientists found that the universe is in constant expansion. I believe also the kingdom of God is expanding. See, God is in the business of creating life. He loves children. It's like that's why there are, you know, they gave us so many. I have six of them. Mm-hmm. God loves children. I am one child. If God didn't love children, I wouldn't be here talking to you. And it's like God wants each one of us to become like Jesus, our first big brother. God loves children, but by the blood of Jesus, we can all become like Jesus. And I receive Jesus in my heart. I'm not perfect, but I am growing to become like Jesus every day more and more. And so are each one of
them. Amen. This is one of the best things in this message, that everything's going to be new. We are going to be new, and the heavens and the earth. Now, what I want to ask you is...
Because God is love. Let me add a PS. It's like it goes with God is love. It's like God is not like some religious people, some Sardes de Laodicea, so-called Christians are teaching, heaven or hell, repent or lake of fire. It's not like that. It's that God is trying to give a chance to everybody. My goodness, Jesus wouldn't have said in Matthew 18, you shall forgive your brother 70 times 7. But somebody's religion, as soon as you cough the wrong way, or you look at the wrong woman, you look at woman the wrong way, and you commit adultery in your heart, they send you to the lake of fire. Jesus forgives you. Jesus teaches you not to do that. Amen. Amen.
Yes. Can you tell us more now about New Jerusalem? Like, how is it going to be, and where is it going to be? It says it comes down from heaven. What does it mean?
In New Jerusalem, that's there's a beautiful description in Revelation 21. It's very wonderful. It's, you see, it's 2,000... and 220 kilometers high, wide, and deep.
But this is not spiritual, it's actually physical length?
No, this is physical. It's as big, almost as wide as the whole Europe, and most of the United States. It's a huge city. There is room for everybody.
So, coming from heaven, it's going to be visible. What is it going to be on earth?
Where? That doesn't matter where. It doesn't matter. Any place is good. It will come down. Revelation 21 says it comes down from heaven.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's going to settle on earth. And it's some people imagine it is square, but some people think it's kind of a little bit pyramidical. Mm-hmm. And that's why the Egyptians, they're trying to build pyramids. It was the devil trying to imitate in Jerusalem. Oh. The devil cannot invent anything new. He can only imitate. So whatever shape is going to be, for sure is 2,220 kilometers wide and high. And that's where God is going to be there, and Jesus is going to be there, the bride is going to be there. And I tell you, the pain and the suffering, the tribulation of this life is nothing compared to what's coming. So it's less than a teaspoon of water compared to the ocean, right? That's how, I mean, it's going to be for eternity. Remember that our suffering in this life, they all have an end. If nothing else, your life is not that long. Eternity is not a long time. It's a long, 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 long time.
So New Jerusalem is only for the bride, right? Nobody else can enter.
No, that's not at all. It's only them written in the Book of the Lamb. It comes down as a bride. That's for sure as a marriage chamber where the virgin without oil cannot go in, like it says in Matthew 25. And look, we read in Revelation 22:12, Jesus says, "Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according to as his work shall be." See, it's not by grace. It's by works, understand? See, once you're saved, then your rewards or your shame depends on your works. You know, like Jesus said in Luke 9 and Mark 8, he said, "He that is ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of him." So it's not by grace. Rewards are not by grace. Revelation 3:11, "Be careful nobody steals your crown." All right. And 13, Revelation 22:13, "I am Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." So it's very important to understand this, that verse 12, "My reward is with me to give unto every man according to as his work shall be." So it's not easy today. There's a lot of false prophets just preaching about grace, 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 and grace. Oh, sorry, it's not grace. It's also works in Christ. The grace does not work. Galatians 5:4 says you are fallen from grace. If we disobey the commandments of the gospel, we fall from grace. We can be the best Pharisee, the best holy person. We can be super holy, never think a wrong thought. But if you don't obey, it's good for nothing. The Pharisees were very holy, but they disobedient, they disobey. So we must make sure that our faith is not made in religious holiness, but made in obedience of the gospel. Number one is loving God, but there is a number two also, which some Christians prefer to forget, and that is love your neighbor. How is that? Well, if you don't preach the gospel to your lost neighbor, you don't love them. How do we love our neighbor if they're going to hell and we just pray for them? They don't have Jesus, we pray for them. They are lost, we pray for them. At least your prayer is good for nothing. You need to go preach the gospel to them. Your prayer, don't get out of the church windows. You know, we need to go out like Jesus in the streets and reach them. So praise God, amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
We have some beautiful scripture here, Revelation 21. Let's read it from 1 to 7, will you?
Revelation 21, from 1 to 7. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.' And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I will make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said unto me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son."
Praise God. What wonderful, wonderful promises.